جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. والصلاة والسلام على سيدي ومولاي وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى سيدي ومولاي الإمام أبي عبد الله الحسين عليه أفضل الصلاة والسلام. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة، يقاتلون في سبيل الله فيقتلون ويقتلون، وعداً عليه حقاً في التوراة والإنجيل والقرآن، ومن أوفى بعهده من الله فاستبشروا ببيعكم الذي بايعتم به، وذلك هو الفوز العظيم. Enlighten your hearts and your sessions with a loud salawat for Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. On the eve of the 40th, the Arba'een of Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Al-Hussein, I have 3 points to present tonight. Point number one, we hear our Imam saying that there was a cosmos reaction to the martyrdom of Imam Hussein. The universe reacted. Not just people who were in that area. Not just the inhabitants of Earth. But there was a cosmos expression of sorrow and grief that overwhelms the universe. Al-Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam states, بكت السماء على يحيى بن زكريا والحسين بن علي 40 صباحا ولم تبكي على غيرهما. The heaven and the sky wept for the tragedies of the Prophet Yahya ibn Zakariya, who had the same destiny, but less tragic than the destiny of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And the heaven never wept for anyone else other than them. Now, what is this cosmos reaction and what does it mean? Is it literal or a metaphor? There is a debate among the scholars. They discuss this point in length, and then they bring another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِذَا مَاتَ الْعَالِمُ الْفَقِيهُ بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِ السَّمَاءُ بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِ السَّمَاءُ 40 يَوْمًا. If a scholar, alim, who's a jurist, who's able to, jurist, faqih means he's able to extract the law from this book, the Quran, the Holy Quran, and the Sunnah of the Prophet, the Hadith. This is his speciality, is able to draw or extract the laws. That person is called faqih. If that type of person dies, then again the heaven is going to weep for his departure for 40 days. And there is a verse in the Holy Quran, chapter 44, Surah Al-Dukhan. فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا كَانُوا مُنظَرِينَ. Speaks about Pharaoh when he perished. God says, as a reaction to that, the heaven and the earth did not weep for them. What does that mean? It did not weep for them, but there are some people that the heaven and the earth would weep for. This is mantuq and mafhum. This is the sentence and the literal sentence and the spirit of the sentence. The literal sentence means that when someone, a criminal, perishes, the heaven or the inhabitants of the heavens would not weep for him. The spirit and the meaning of the sentence means that if someone, a believer, who is worthy of a praise, dies, then the heaven or the inhabitants of heaven weep for his departure. As I said, there is a debate among scholars. Is this weeping real, literal, or it's a metaphor? Some scholars, they say it is real. And how do we realize it is real when Imam Hussein died or Yahya ibn Zakariya alayhim as-salam? They say in the horizon people noticed a distinct redness at the time of sunrise and sunset, both, not just sunset. Today there was some redness in the sky if you noticed. But this is not the real redness. It's a redness that is, it resembles the color of the blood that took place during the rise of the sun and the setting of the sun for 40 days and nights. Unusual. They say it was unusual. They never experienced that before. Those who say that this sentence is real, it's not a metaphor, that the sky does weep. Why? How it does? How that happens? As the earth has inhabitants, the sky also has inhabitants. And thus, the Holy Quran, when he speaks about the universe, he says, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءِ. Sometimes God says, the heaven and the earth and those who are there. وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. And what is in between? Who are those in between? We know people can live on earth, but who can go to the atmosphere? Who can go above that? Who can live in other plants or somewhere else? God says, or other planets actually, and God says there are angels, there are inhabitants who weep for these tragedies. Why this happened? This happened because Hussein was a universal leader. My friends, when someone dies in the community is going to mourn his or her departure. The community are going to go to the funeral, to the memorial, to mourn this departure. But if that person is an important person, he transcends his community to other communities too. He does not belong only to this locality or to this community. But he serves others. Then other communities are going to mourn him too. Other cities are going to mourn him too. And you see that on a daily basis. Someone dies, I've seen sometimes someone dies, three people go to his funeral. Another person dies, 30,000 people attend his or her funeral. The more the person is important, the bigger the number is. And sometimes it is a national mourning. They say this is a hero. It does not just belong to his family, or his tribe, or his neighborhood. He belongs to the whole country. So it's a national mourning. Now when someone like Hussein alayhi salam, who transcends all the boundaries, Hussein, when he stood up to tyranny, and racism, and discrimination, and corruption, transcended all boundaries. Hussein did not belong to certain race or family or village or country. Hussein is a universal leader. This is why the whole universe is going to mourn the departure of Hussein. Some people, they stand only for their people, not for others. You know, there are some national heroes who say, I work only for America. What is outside America does not belong to me and I don't care about it. Others, they say, we defend the Western Hemisphere. We don't care about the Eastern Hemisphere or the Southern one. Others, they say, we care about all people, the whole humanity. They are our family. And this is a Quranic concept. Quran says, do not consider yourself local. Do not treat yourself as being born in this household, in this family name, in this race, in this color. So you give a preference and a priority to your color, to your race, at the expense of others. As someone who's doing right now, and he's the president-elect of the United States of America. Today I was reading an article. The article said his picks for all these posts, he picked the top racist in the nation. Can you imagine that? The top racist in the nation. Imagine what America is going to be in a few months from now. Because he's local, he thinks local, he's not universal. Islam teaches us one thing. Whether you are a president or a servant, whether you are an average citizen, you live on welfare, or whether you are a multi-billionaire, you have to be universal. In your thinking, in your heart, in your behavior, in your manners, you have to think universally. And this is embedded in this book. Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'aruf. We did not create you to compete with one another. We did not create you to take pride in your race, in your gender, in your color, in your country. We did not create you to be nationalists. We created you to be universal being. Yes, it's okay to love your land, your home. It's okay to love your race. No problem with that. But you have to be universal. You have to be universal. Because you come from one father and one mother. And the reason God created us into different, he could have made all of us one race. Just one race. No Mexicans, no Americans, no French, no Africans, no Indian. One race. Or one color. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. Because my mission is bigger. I want people to learn. I want these different colors and different races to learn how to get together and work with each other. Despite their diversity. Despite their differences. Because if we are all the same, then what's the point? It's not a big deal. You work with people that you know and you recognize and you enjoy their race, their language, their color. God says no. You grow, you start growing when you transcend. فَلَقْتَحَمَ الْعَقَبَةِ You transcend these artificial barriers that you created, not me. You created. You reach out to others. One of the things I like about this place is the diversity here. When we have a Friday prayers, sometimes I stand on this podium, I look in front of me, we have people who belong to many languages, many colors, many races, many ethnicities. And they stand together, shoulder to shoulder. And in this masjid, this is one of the very few masajid that never puts a partition between men and women. Despite the pressure, we resisted this pressure for 20 years. Because I believe the message of Islam is an equal opportunity message. We live in a country that we always try to empower women, to tell them you are not second class, you are first class. In the eyes of God, you are first class. So I would not put partition. I would not put partition. Because I respect women and I respect men. And there is no suspicion between them. Why do you put partition? You put partition when there is suspicion. Allah says in the Quran, women have to wear hijab because some men are sick. But alhamdulillah, when our men and women are not sick, there is no need for partition. Don't get me wrong. I didn't say no need for hijab, huh? Please. No need for partition. فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ سُورَةُ الْأَحْزَابِ. Allah says to women, wear and be chaste, protect yourself, because sometimes some men في قلبه مرض, sickness. He takes advantage of you. Not all men, some of them. So you have to protect yourself. In your neighborhood, you have to protect your property. Not all people are thieves. Maybe one thief can endanger the life of the entire neighborhood and city. So, Imam Hussein belongs to the entire universe. Then, it's not strange that the cosmos system reacts to his martyrdom. And there is a distinct redness in the horizon for the departure of Hussein alayhi salam. And Anbiya Allah, they wept for him. The angels, they wept for him. Actually, they wept twice. Before their departure, the hadith says, every prophet of God, every messenger God sent to the humanity, God informed him of the tragedy of Hussein and Karbala. Imagine they came thousands of years before him. Adam came thousands of years before the birth of Hussein. Same thing with Noah. Moses came hundreds of years before him. Jesus, 600 years before him. But Allah mentioned to them Hussein and what will happen to Hussein. Why? Why? Some of them would ask, God, something is going to happen 2,000 years. Why do you mention that to me? God says, your message is not going to be completed unless you have the sacrifice of Hussein. It is Hussein who is going to give fruit to your mission. And this is why when we stand before Hussein, what do you say in the beginning? As-salamu ala Adam safwatillah. As-salamu ala Nuhin Nabiyillah. As-salamu ala Ibrahim Khalilillah. As-salamu ala Musa Kalimillah. I mentioned to my Jewish friend the other day, he was asking me about Ashura. I said, do you know in Ashura we praise your prophet and your messenger, the messenger of Judaism, Musa? Do you know that? He said, where? I said, in the Ziyarah. When I go to Karbala every day, before I mention Muhammad and Hussein, I mention Musa alayhi salam. As-salamu ala Musa kalimullah. As-salamu ala Isa ruhillah. The Jews and the Christians, they have to know that we are universal. We do not discriminate. We love those prophets. And because Hussein loved their leaders and their prophets, he continued their mission. They are indebted to Hussein. Musa is indebted to Hussein, and Isa, and Ibrahim, and Nuh, and Adam, and all the prophets. The second point, what happened after the departure of Hussein? Was he successful or not? History will judge, my friends. Look at history. Look at what happened after the day of Ashura. Usually when someone dies, after a few days, few months, his name is going to subside. You have noticed this in your families. You love someone in your family. She could be your mother. He could be your father, your uncle, your brother. You love them so much. They die. Of course, you are stricken. You are heartbroken. Some of you weep. But as the time goes, you start to forget. And this is part of God's mercy upon us. He makes you forget. Otherwise, you cannot continue your life, your business. God brings peace to your heart and comfort to your heart. The more you read Quran, the more you realize I'm the same. من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه فمنهم من قضى. Some of them, they moved before us, they left before us. ومنهم من ينتظر. Others are waiting in line. This is the story of life. There is no exception. Every time someone dies, it's a message for me and you that you are next. Be prepared. So, his or her name and the pain and the suffering of this loss is going to subside by the time. But look what happened to Hussein. It's exactly the opposite. On the day of Ashura, there was no one to weep for Hussein. Look at today. Look at today. How many people are weeping for Hussein? Who brought you tonight, Saturday night, with this traffic in Southern California? Why did you leave your house? You left your house because of your love for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. You came to this masjid and all other masajid and Islamic centers in the entire globe is packed. And if you get an opportunity to look at Najaf Karbala Highway, it is packed. It's packed with hundreds of thousands of visitors. Who are not riding, they are walking. Al-Mashyu li ziyarat al-Hussein. The only leader among the Anbiya and the Imams that is mustahab to go to his shrine walking is Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Is Imam Hussein. Millions of people are paying tribute to him. Millions of mouths and tongues are screaming tonight, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Labbayka Ya Aba Abdullah. Labbayka Ya Aba Abdullah. Millions, worldwide, in all languages, in all colors. I mentioned earlier, a few minutes ago, in my Arabic lecture, I said there were reports, my brother was telling me this year, he's in Karbala, he said, we saw Christians coming, walking, not riding, mashi, to visit the shrine of Imam Hussein. We saw Sabians, a branch of a Christianity, also, As-Sabi'a, they are mentioned in the Quran. They came, they are non-Muslims. We saw hundreds of thousands of Sunni people coming to visit, walking. We saw some Hindus, they told me they saw some Hindus, some Buddhists. They come to pay tribute to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Abu Abdullah is not dead, believe me. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. His message is alive. Because he belongs to the humanity. Hussein does not belong to Medina or Mecca or Karbala or Najaf or the Middle East. Hussein is the property of the entire humanity. Because he did not discriminate. A lesson that we must learn from Ahlul Bayt. Do not discriminate. If you get a chance to look at the camp of Imam Hussein on the eve of Ashura, you find people who are black. And his name, he kept his Roman name, John. His name was John. Okay? He was John until the end. He didn't change his name. His name is John. He was a black. And we had some people who came from Europe, some people who came from Iran. Some people who came from the Arabian Peninsula, and many who belong to different tribes, different walks of life. Some of those were a Christian, a young man with his new bride, newlywed. Imam Hussein passed by a village. There were only three people in that village, three Christian people in that village. A newlywed couple, the name of the husband is Wahab, his wife, newlywed, just a few days, with the mother, living in a small house in that village, when they saw the caravan of Imam Hussein moving to Karbala. Imam Hussein introduced himself. He said to him, why you go to this direction? You belong to Medina, your house is Medina. He said, yes, my house is Medina. But there is no Aman in Medina anymore. no amnesty, no security, no dignity for the human being. So why are you going into that direction? I'm going to lead a revolution against this corrupt regime. He talked to them about Islam. He presented Islam from in a beautiful and simple way. And they accepted Islam. Why they accepted Islam? Because when Hussein told them about Islam and told them about the articles of faith, he was practicing Islam himself. The reason we tell Islam to others and they don't buy it, because we don't practice Islam. This is why we fail. But the day we start practicing Islam, we become good Muslims, the job would be much easier. You don't have to shout, you don't have to speak, you don't have to spend hours and hours convincing. People look at you. This is exactly what Imam al-Sadiq says. كُونُوا دُعَاتًا لَنَا بِغَيْرِ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ Oh, our followers, invite to our path without your speech. You don't have to speak. But if you behave Islamically and ethically, people get attracted to you. People come to you. People listen to you. People trust you. The reason why many Americans, they do not accept Islam, not because Islam is wrong or this book is wrong, because some Muslims are wrong. Some Muslims do not adhere to the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Holy Quran says, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ Do not fight with each other. Have tolerance. Have understanding and forgiveness with each other. If you do so, you're going to lose yourself and your countries and your economies and your dignity. And look at what is happening among the Muslims today in the Middle East. Look at how many cities being wiped out completely from the surface of earth. Not by an atomic bomb, not by a kafir, as they say, or a non-Muslim, by Muslims. Muslims killing Muslims. This is the prophecy of the Quran. Muslims not respecting their book. Many Muslims read the book, but they don't follow it. They read it blindly. Imam Hussein, he presented Islam in a few words. He did not spend much time. Wahab and his wife and his mother, three Christians, immediately said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ So they went with him to Karbala. The story is very interesting. It does not end here. That was only 8 days before Ashura. On the day of Ashura, Wahab's wife, she asked him, Wahab, are you going to fight alongside Hussein? He said, of course. This is why I'm here. Why did we leave our home, our village? I came with Hussein not for fun or entertainment, not because I know Hussein is going to be victorious and he's going to control the government and appoint me as a governor of here or there. Hussein told me about the reality of Islam, and he said, without martyrdom, shahada, Islam cannot succeed. Without giving ourselves, this is the ayah that I read in the beginning. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ God made a deal with the believers to take their souls, their life, and their wealth. In return for what? بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَيَقْتُلُونَ وَيُقْتَلُونَ This is not just for the Muslims. وَعْدًا عَلَيْهِ حَقًّا A true promise that he made in the Old Testament, في التوراة, in the Bible, والإنجيل, and the Holy Quran. This is not a new story. God made this covenant with people long time ago. But people forgot about that. People did not adhere to that. So Hussein came to renew this person, renew his spirit. So he said, definitely I'm going to fight. She said, but we are newlywed. He said, yes, we are newlywed. But this life without dignity is spiritless, meaningless. She said to him, please, please, Wahab, don't leave me alone. Please. But the mother came to her son. Imagine the mother is sending her son, newlywed son, to go and fight. The mother said to him, Wahab, listen to me. I'm your mother. If you seek prosperity and success, listen to Hussein alayhi salam. So he went to the battlefield. He bade farewell to his wife and his mother, and he went to the battlefield. While he was fighting, he heard his wife from behind him saying, Ya Wahab, qatil dun al-tayyibin abna al-tayyibin dhurriyat Rasulillah. Wahab, go ahead. I'm with you. I support you. He turned back. He said, what happened? Minutes later, you were discouraging me. You said to me, no. She said, Wahab, don't blame me. La talumni ya Wahab. Inna wa'iyat al-Husayn qatta'at qalbi. وجدته واقفا بباب الخيمة وهو ينادي ألا هل من ناصر ينصرني. Don't blame me. Yes, I changed my mind. I changed my heart. When I saw Hussein standing alone and calling, ألا هل من ناصر ينصرنا. Is there anyone who can come to our defense, to our help? I could not take that anymore. Now I know Hussein is abused. Hussein is mazloom. Go ahead, Ya Wahab. While he was fighting, he was murdered. As soon as his wife came to carry his head in her lap, Shimr came and he dealt her a strike. فَكَانَتْ أَوَّلُ شَهِيدَةٍ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْحُسَيْنِ. She died alongside her husband, newly wed. Few weeks ago, they were married together. They accepted Islam together. And they died together in the plain of Karbala. Imagine, this incident was 1,377 years ago. I mention it today to you. Imagine if Wahab did not go with Hussein. He said, no, Hussein, I would become Muslim. Okay, leave me alone in my village, in my territory. Would I mention him today? He will die after 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 60 years. He will die. Nobody would remember him. Today people remember Wahab because of his stand. Because he learned. Imagine he spent a few minutes with Hussein, not days, few minutes in the beginning. He was attracted by Hussein because his heart was pure. His heart was clean. While other Muslims, they see Hussein in Mecca and Medina calling upon them and they reject him. They refuse him. Why? Not because they don't pray. They pray. But the heart is blocked. طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ عَلَىٰ سَمْخَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَأَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةٌ غِشَاوَةٌ. There is a partition blocking them. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله. I know that many of you would love to be with the Zuwar now. I can't control my tears when I look at their pictures and when I feel. This year I did not go to Hajj, and last year, after 25 years of non-stop going to Hajj, I didn't go to Hajj in a protest to Al Saud. Not because I did not have money. They take me free. And they invited me, many groups, they invited me to join them. I said, no, I don't want to go to Hajj. Hajj with the control of Al Saud is useless, my friends. This is my conviction. Hajj with the presence of this tyrant and corrupt thugs who are ruling Mecca and Medina, Hajj loses its meaning and its spirit and its objective. So I said to them, leave me alone. I'm not going to enjoy Hajj. But when I don't go to Karbala, and the days of Hajj, they came and they left and I didn't notice, believe me. Because when you are not emotionally connected, when you are not in love, then you don't care what's happening. Today, 7th al-Hijjah, 8th, 9th. But now that is, I see this Hajj to Imam Hussein, which is an integral part of Iman. I mentioned yesterday, Friday prayers. Imam al-Sadiq says, the Hajj to Mecca and Medina is an integral part to Islam. If you don't go to Hajj or deny Hajj, if you don't believe in Hajj, then you are not a Muslim. Sometimes you believe in Hajj, you can't go. You are still a Muslim. But if you can go and you choose not to go, this is what the Quran says. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا وَمَنْ كَفَرُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. Those who refuse Hajj, while they can go, and they have not been to Hajj at all, at least they have to go once in their lifetime. But if they choose not to go while they are able financially, physically, security-wise, and they don't go, God says, woman kafir, they disbelieve in me. So Hajj is part and parcel of Islam. You know the ziyarah of Imam Hussein is part and parcel of what? Iman. And there is a difference between Islam and Iman. Islam is the first step, okay? And Iman is a higher step, the second step. قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا. Don't say we have Iman. Iman is much higher. You are Muslim, yes, but you are not mu'min. So Hajj is part of Islam, one of the foundations of Islam, and the ziyarah of Imam Hussein is part of the foundation of Iman, faith, my friends. And therefore, we pay tribute to Hussein tonight. Hussein, who gave everything for the sake of God. This is why you love him, because you look at his values. Many of you, my friends, you have not seen Hussein's picture, neither me. We don't even know his color. We don't even know how he looks like, but we love him. Sometimes a friend next to you, you know everything about that friend. He lives in the same house, but you don't like him. And sometimes someone who's far away from you, who lived hundreds of years back, you don't know the details of his physical details, but you fall in love with him. Why? Because you fall in love with his soul, spirit, ruh, with his manners, with his values, with his principles. Once you share the principles of Hussein with Hussein, you fall in love with him. And that person who shares the principles of Yazid with Yazid, he again falls in love with Yazid ibn Muawiyah. Because you share the principles and the values of Hussein. And the principles of values of Hussein, I say again, they are not local or national, they are universal. Let's learn something from Hussein Abu Abdullah tonight. To be universal in our thinking, in our behavior. To love people regardless of how they look, what they speak, where they come from. Don't look at their family names. Don't look at their titles. Don't look at their financial status. Don't look at their educational status. Don't ask where you live. Look at their values. If you share the same noble values with them, they are your brothers and sisters. You must fall in love with them. This is exactly what the Prophet says. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, لن تدخل الجنة حتى تؤمنوا. None of you is allowed to step into paradise unless he or she attain faith. حتى تؤمن. No one can make it to paradise without this passport of faith. Even if he's a son of a prophet. And this is the example in the Quran. Nuh's son. Allah says to Nuh, don't run after him because he does not have that passport to paradise. He doesn't have. What is the passport? Faith. I don't look at blood. I don't look at biological ties. I look at faith. Intellectual, spiritual ties. biological ties has no meaning. Don't run after him. Let him drown. إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. Even if he's a son of the Prophet, if he does not carry that special visa that is called faith, he cannot make it. The Prophet says, لَنْ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا. And then there is a prerequisite to faith. What is that prerequisite to attain faith? وَلَنْ تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا. Wow. I wish America can hear this hadith. I wish them they can understand. I wish those 60 million people who voted for Trump to hear this hadith of the Prophet. You cannot attain paradise unless you attain faith. And you cannot attain faith unless you love one another. These are the foundations of Islam. We love one another, regardless of how they look. I don't care about whether they speak English or Arabic or Urdu. I love them. They are my brother. And then Imam Ali comes again to elaborate on this hadith of his master and his mentor, the Prophet. He says, "Annasu sinfan." Annasu sinfan. If you want to look at people, all people are connected to you, related to you. How? Annasu sinfan. Either they are related in faith, they share the faith. If not, they are related in what? Humanity. Humanity, they are human. They are human. I was speaking in Toronto the other night during Ashura. There was a conference, youth conference. When I finished, lady came to me. I think either she was Canadian African or American African. She asked me, Imam, I have a friend who's not, according to us, straight. You know what I mean? Her sexual orientation, she's not straight. She's the other, you know. So, should I talk to her? Should I bring her to the mosque? I said to her, is she human? She said, of course she's a human. I said, then you have the answer. She's a human. And see what Imam Ali says. Imam Ali says, "Annasu sinfan." Either they belong, they are connected to you, they share faith with you. If they don't share faith, ideology, they share what? Humanity. She's a human. Bring her, invite her, speak to her, talk to her. Sometimes people need advice. Sometimes people are confused. They need encouragement. They need good answers. Talk to her. Maybe Allah wants you to be the agent of goodness to save her, to protect her, to restore her. Why not? Don't shut the door. Don't shut your gate. Don't shut yourself to anyone. Open your heart. That was the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let me conclude with this hadith, my friends, about the ziyarah of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. Ma min ahadin, wow. Ma min ahadin yawm al-qiyamati illa wa yatamanna an annahu min zuwar al-Husayn. Imam al-Sadiq says there is no person, no human, no he or she but to wish and desire on the Day of Judgment to be one of the visitors of Imam Hussein. Why? Why they wish to be the visitors of Imam Hussein? Those of you who have the opportunity and you don't go, you will miss something big. And you will regret the day that regret is not going to help you. I have many people who went to Ziyaratul Arba'een. Many. Many friends, I know them. They came, they said, Sayyid, it's something different. It's something that I cannot explain. I can't explain to you unless you are there yourself. unless you go yourself, you know the meaning. I can't explain it to you. The blessings of this ziyarah. The barakat that comes to you and your family and your country and your tribe and your friends. So on the Day of Judgment, Imam al-Sadiq says, مَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَّا وَيَتَمَنَّى أَنَّهُ مِنْ زُوَّارِ الْحُسَيْنِ لِمَا يَرَى مَا يُصْنَعُ بِزُوَّارِ الْحُسَيْنِ مِنْ كَرَامَتِهِمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Because of the royal treatment they receive by God, they become VIPs on that day. Each and every person wishes to be one of them that he concluded and he performed Ziyaratul Husayn during his lifetime. Don't miss it, my friends. Try to go. At one time, Iraq was shot down by the tyrant. Many tyrants came to rule Iraq and they made the Ziyarah a crime, punishable by law. Yes, punishable by law. Nobody was allowed to go. Nobody was allowed to say Ya Hussein. Nobody was allowed to recite the ziyarah, do you know? Nobody was allowed to go and recite the ziyarah. Those tyrants are in Jahannam now. Enjoying with Fir'aun, with Yazid, with Muawiyah, with other tyrants. Hussein remains. Nobody can destroy Hussein. Nobody can remove Hussein from the heart of his sweethearts, his ashaq. No one. Because this love is divine. It's divine. إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعْطَى حُسَيْنًا ثَلَاثَ خِصَالٍ. In return for his sacrifice, he granted him 3 gifts. خِصَال. Exclusively for Hussein. No one else shared this with him. الشِّفَاءُ فِي تُرْبَتِ. The soil where Hussein is laying down, that soil has a healing power, spiritual healing power. Someone came to Imam al-Sadiq, he said, but we gave this to a sick person and he was not healed. Imam al-Sadiq, yes, there is a condition. When you take it, you must be certain 100% that there is a healing in this. If you have a doubt, it would not work. It wouldn't work. If you have some hesitation in your heart, that, well, maybe yes, maybe no, it would not work. There is a condition that you take it with this condition. الشِّفَاءُ فِي تُرْبَتِهِ وَاسْتِجَابَةُ الدُّعَاءُ تَحْتَ قُبَّتِهِ. Again, when you go with a broken heart, with a heart that is true and honest, sometimes we go with a heart that is divided. How it is divided? I go to the ziyarah, I say, Ya Aba Abdullah, please, I have this and that. But at the same time, yeah, I have this attorney back home, the most powerful attorney. I know the chief of police. I have this a friend who can help me. I have that one who can stand with me. This is divided attention. The Quran says, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُفْطَرِ. Muftar means someone who's sending a distress call. Distress call. He knows no one can help him but God. So if with this intention you stand underneath the dome, your dua is answered. And your need is granted. الشِّفَاءُ فِي تُرْبَتِهِ وَاسْتِجَابَةُ الدُّعَاءُ تَحْتَ قُبَّتِهِ. And the third gift, the 9 imams are the descendants of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Wal a'immah min dhurriyyatih. And the ziyarah, the Prophet says, when you conclude the ziyarah, an angel is going to greet you and bring this glad tiding to you, and he would say, Abshir faqad kharajta min dhunubik. Abshir, I'm giving you this good news. After the ziyarah of Imam Hussein, you are pure. You are clean. You have been forgiven. But not anyone, my friends. Those who go for the sake of ziyarah, not for the sake of entertainment. Those who go with faith, full faith, they go only for the ziyarah, not for something else. And they know the rules, the adab. Ziyarah has adab, my friends. Some people walk to the ziyarah without even paying. They don't know where the destination is. They don't know why they are there. But when you go from the beginning till the end with this intention, I came to this land, I have one goal, one objective. I want to meet my sweetheart in Karbala, Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam. Then definitely the dua is going to be answered and the sins are going to be forgiven. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك. The caravan reached Karbala on the 40th, on the 40th, led by Imam Zain al-Abidin عليه الصلاة والسلام. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari leaves the Medina, going to Karbala. They reached in the same day. Both caravans, the caravan of Jabir ibn Abdullah, the companion of the Prophet, with the caravan of Imam Zain al-Abidin that was coming back from Damascus on their way to Medina. They arrived on the 40th, the day of Arba'een, in the land of Karbala. As soon as Imam Zain al-Abidin looked at Jabir, he said, Jabirun hadha, are you the companion of my grandfather, the Prophet? He said, Bala ibn Rasulullah, yes. My life is your ransom, of course. I am the servant of your grandfather and your father and your forefathers all. He said to him, Jabir, do you know what happened to us here 40 days ago? Ya Jabir, ha huna qutilat rijaluna. Our men were slaughtered on this plain, on this land. Ya Jabir, ha huna dhubihat atfaluna. Our children were killed too. Ya Jabir, ha huna subiyat nisauna. Our women were taken captives. I wish you were here, Ya Jabir. You were here in this land 40 days ago. Lady Zainab, she ran to the grave of Hussein. She threw herself on the grave. Oh Hussein, we came back from a long trip. Hussein, as I promised you, I took care of your sisters. I took care of your children. But one thing I have to say to you, Hussein, one of your babies, I could not bring her with me. She's left in Damascus, and that is Ruqayya, who is only 5 years old. I apologize to you, Hussein, that your children, not all of them are with me. Ruqayya is left in Damascus. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Wa sayalamu alladhina zalamu ayyamun qalabin yanqalibun. Wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen. وصلى الله وسلم على رسولنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين